Well, as we've already said a couple of times, here we are in the final week, week six, in our series titled David, the Making of. If you were here last Sunday, Michelle gave us a very quick recap of David's anointing, his abilities, his attitude, his approach, the advantage that he had. And today we look at our final A, which is appointed. Well, appointed is not a word that I'm unfamiliar with, as many of you will understand. As a Salvation Army officer, I have been receiving appointments for the last 20 plus years, and the language that is often used says something like, you have been appointed. At home, we have this file that lives in our filing cabinet that Dave sometimes wonders why I have kept. It, but inside you will find paper letters with real signatures telling us of our appointments, except when I was coming to Parramatta, I think they sent me an email, so I don't think they do paper anymore. But this is what some of them look like. They do say strictly private and confidential, but apparently it's okay because it's past 7 years. I don't know. It's my letter, so surely I can show it to you. But here's some highlights. On behalf of the Territorial Commander, I write to advise you that you are to remain in your current appointment for a further term. You never knew how long the term was going to be. But I love this bit that says, be assured that Deborah and I pray for you every week, asking our great God to equip, empower, and sustain you in all you do. Indeed, we pray that you will fulfil your full potential in Christ. Bruce Stevens, now a Lieutenant Colonel, retired, was our Divisional Commander. Then the one that's on your right up there is got a lot more to it. That's because we were moving. And when you're moving, you get all the details about how you're supposed to leave your quarters, the furnishing lists, what else is there? There are other things about your meal allowances, how you're going to get to your new appointment if you're changing states. You always knew, when I was a kid, I'm an officer's kid, my parents are retired officers, you always knew if you were moving by the size of the envelope that came in the mail. Does anybody else can agree? Yes, the moles, yes, can understand what I'm saying. If it was a thick envelope, you were moving. If it was a thin envelope, you were staying. True story. But then we got this other one year, that makes me laugh, that please don't spread this out of this room. It says, I'm pleased to confirm your continuance in ministry and service as part of the leadership team of the Box Hill Corps. You will be designated assistant corps officers, not you will be appointed. You see, previously we had been the assistant to the corps officers. Now we were the assistant corps officers. So it was just a designation, not an appointment. I'm not sure why they even wrote that letter to me, because it seemed to be a bit of a waste of time in some regard, I thought, but that's just my personal opinion. But then there was one that made a comment saying that change of appointment is common for us. It is known to us. And I thought, yes, but do I really want that? Obviously I do. But we keep these appointments, you know. As I've kept these letters and as I've flicked through them again the last week or so, some of these appointments I've loved. Some of them I have questioned. I remember, in fact, I can say this now because we're not on camera, I remember saying to an assistant chief secretary who told me one time that we were moving, and I looked him straight dead in the eye and I said to him, are you crazy? Some were an absolute joy. Some of them had challenges, but all I believe were for a reason and were part of God's plan for my life. I also believe that everything that I'd done in my life leading up to each appointment was preparing me for the days ahead. And I think that the same can be said of King David. Over the course of this series, we've heard several definitions of the words that we have been looking at. So I thought that I would do similar, and I Googled and looked up the word appointed. And here are three brief definitions. That appointed means predetermined, arranged, or set. It means provided with what is necessary, equipped, furnished, or it means that you are chosen for a particular job. We heard the scripture earlier of when David was anointed as the king of Israel. And this was a fulfilling of what the Lord had said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. We know that David was anointed by Samuel when he was a young man. He was chosen for a particular job, a particular role. Then throughout his life, he was provided with what was necessary to do the job. He was prepared and he was equipped to do it. But it took a while to get there. David wasn't anointed and then immediately he became the king. There were approximately 15 years between his encounter with Samuel to the passage that Bev read to us earlier. How often is this the case? Where God gives us a promise, where we think that something is going to happen, but there is this period of waiting. I think of my own life, and when I was 16, I had an encounter with God, and I knew that one day I would be in full-time ministry. I had no idea what that meant. Definitely in my mind, I wasn't going to be a Salvation Army officer. But then when I was 28, things changed, and here I am. And if I could go back and change anything from those 12 years in between, would I? Well, as I was reflecting, yes, there are a few things I would change. Possibly a very bad perm that I had in my hair. Some of the outfits that I wore that sadly were photographed and I can still look at. Possibly a young man that I hung around with for a while. Not my husband, in case you're wondering. Somebody else. And you know, while I joke, in all honesty, there's not a lot that I would alter. You know, everything that happened in those 12 years has made me who I am. Yes, there were times that were difficult, but that's what has made me who I am. And that's the same for David. His life wasn't always perfect. In fact, some of his life was terrible. But it was all preparing him for the future. A couple of weeks ago, I read this summary of David's life based on highs and lows, and here it is. Let me quickly go through this. Here are some highs. As a teenager, David was anointed to be the king of Israel. He defeated Goliath, and he moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. But then a low point came, and King Saul made him a fugitive and tried to kill him, to murder him more than once. Another high is that David became the king of Israel, but then a low came after this week. I can encourage you to continue to read the story. And David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then tried to cover it up and had Bathsheba's husband killed. And David and Bathsheba's first son dies as a consequence of David's sin. But the high in that is that God forgave David for his adultery and blessed him with a son called Solomon. But then lows came again and his family fell apart. His son Absalom killed another one of his sons in revenge for the rape of Absalom's half-sister Tamar. You may know that story. Absalom attempted to overtake the kingdom of Israel from David. But the high there then is that David's men defeated Absalom and took the kingdom back. But another low, that Absalom was killed in battle. But then a high, his son Solomon became one of the wisest men in history. Yet through all of this, the ups and downs of life, God was faithful. God didn't turn his back. He continued to prepare and equip David for what was ahead at every stage of his life. And I think to understand some of the ups and downs is to truly understand this prayer that was shared from 2 Samuel 7 as the second part of our scripture reading. David wrote this prayer out of his heart, and it's this same heart that David also wrote so many of the Psalms that we're familiar with. And so David starts by praying, "Look at what God has done for me and my family. Who am I, sovereign Lord?" he says, "and what is my family that you have brought me this far? Who am I that God has blessed me, that the creator of the universe has been with me throughout my life?" Yes, David asks a question, but really he's not in need of an answer. Even though he's the king, he knows that he is insignificant compared to God. Now, no one can believe simultaneously that they are personally the greatest thing, the best thing since sliced bread, and then go about praising the Almighty God. The writer of this passage of Scripture refers to David as King David in verse 18, but then 10 times throughout this prayer, David refers to himself as your servant. David expresses awe as he ponders God's involvement in his life. Sovereign Lord, he says as he continues to pray. And we are encouraged to think about who God is and what he has done for his people. How great you are, Sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you. How often do you acknowledge God as Sovereign Lord, ruler of all? How often do you think of God for who he really is, for what he has done for you, for what he has done for others? This doesn't mean that everything is perfect, because it's not, and it definitely wasn't perfect for David. And sometimes when we think of previous periods in our lives, we can be reminded of really difficult times. Like so many of you, I have experienced pain and grief, hurt, anger, frustration, normal human emotions. I've also experienced times when my faith has been tested, when I've ranted and questioned and even raved sometimes, when things have gone horribly wrong, even as an officer. But when I look back, I can see that God has been working. But there are times when it's hard to see this in the messiness of life, when things feel like they're falling apart. And let's be honest, sometimes it's hard to pray, "How great you are, Sovereign Lord." But God knows, and he understands our heart. And this prayer of David's in the Message paraphrase says, "You know me, Master God, just as I am. You've done all this not because of who I am, but because of who you are, out of your very heart. Out of your very heart, you have done all this. You know me, and you're still prepared to do great things for me." Even when David's life was full of things that caused worry and heartache, even when he made massive mistakes, he intentionally looked up in thanksgiving to God. Even after his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, David didn't pray, "Why, God, could you possibly let this happen to me?" Instead, he prayed in Psalm 51, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and grant to me a willing spirit to sustain me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." He focused on his great God, and he requests, as his prayer goes on, that God, do as you have promised. Do as you have promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, "The Lord Almighty is God over Israel." This is not a sign of doubt. One commentator says, rather, it's a realistic and encouraging fumbling for David to find the right words to express how he felt. I don't know about you, but it kind of makes me feel good that the eloquent writer of so many of the Psalms may have struggled to find the right words to pray in that moment. Earlier in this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Lord made a covenant promise with David through the prophet Nathan, and he said, "I will provide a homeland for my people Israel. I will make your name famous. I will give you rest from your enemies. I will secure your royal throne. My favour will not be taken from you." And David's response was, "God, do as you have promised." This was not a prayer of arrogance because David wanted fame and fortune. This was a longing for God to continue to show his greatness. I want you to think for a moment about what God has promised you. Perhaps it's a promise about your family, relationships being restored, people coming to know Jesus and his love. Perhaps God has promised to bring you through a difficult time. Perhaps you're currently sitting in that difficult time and God has placed something in your heart. Your God has given to me many promises over the years, some about our boys, some about my ministry, promises of freedom. And as I've considered this scripture over the last week or so, and I've thought a lot about how I pray for these things. Am I praying like David did with this longing? Or am I whinging and moaning and nagging God to do these things for my own self-gratification? 5+ years ago, the core that we were at, if you want to know where it was, come and have a look through my letters later. I was standing at the door one Sunday morning after the service and an older gentleman came past and gave me a piece of paper that had a scripture verse on it. I didn't have the words of the verse. It just had Habakkuk 2 verse 3 and I thought, oh, goodness me, what is that? And I went home and I looked it up and I still have it typed above my desk to this day. And it talks about the vision being for an appointed time. Wait for it, the scripture says. Wait for it and it will happen. God, do as you have promised. Perhaps we may pray, God, you know all that stuff that you said is going to happen. You know how you have placed things on my heart. You know what you've called me to do. God, you are so good. You are so great. Please bring these things to fruition and do it so that your name may be great forever. May your will be done. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. It was God's idea and design that David would one day be king. God equipped David for what he was appointing him to do. Yes, the vision was for an appointed time, and yes, David had to wait for it. Yes, also David made mistakes, he veered off the path, he did his own thing. Sometimes it didn't make any sense. But he was still able to say, who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? David knew that his family would probably make errors too. But even in that, he prayed, bless my house and my descendants so that your will continue to be done. That your greatness will be made known. How do you feel about this prayer? Can you pray, God, do as you have promised? God, make the plans that you have for my life come to fruition. Even when you're not getting what you want, can you still pray, God, do as you have promised? What has God promised? And what is it that God is asking you to do? Although David was imperfect, he demonstrated both the desire and the commitment to fulfill God's will throughout his entire life. Are you willing to step into the anointing and the appointing that God has on your life? He's not finished with any of us yet. No matter our age, our background, what our past looks like, there is still more to come. But that's nothing to what's coming. It says in the Message paraphrase. For you've also spoken of my family far into the future, given me a glimpse into tomorrow, my Master God. What can I possibly say in the face of all this? You know me, Master God, just as I am. You've done all this not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Out of your very heart, but you've let me in on it. And how blessed and privileged we are that God has let us in on it.